afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hello, Melody. That wasn't your usual. That was such a... a different hello.
Trying to add a little variety, you understand?
From you?
Fortunately, I didn't say hi, Wendy, or hi, Barbara, or something like that. And you wouldn't be laughing. You'd be like, what the? You'd really get some variety.
Anyway, no variety. Well, a little bit of variety with gold today. $450 for gold today at $1,250. Silver day is up 10 cents. At $1,678. Platinum is up 3 at $923. Palladium really is trading on its own. That is down 8 at $868. It really is pulling away from the precious metals sector. And of course, big usage in automobiles, catalytic converters. So, hey, economy's not doing so well. You might see a little more pressure on palladium. The USDX today took a beating today, down 1.04 at 96.37. Crude oil was up 88 at 44.26. Paper markets today, the Dow was down 100 points, 95 points, 21,314. The NASDAQ was down 100 points at 61.46. The S&P was down 20 at 24.19. 10-year yield popped 2.20% at up 0.06. And, of course, the euro had a big day, 1.49 plus at 1.13. European markets, just a mixed bag, not a lot of change there. Some of that was due to technology and the bonds and the drop in the dollar. The IMF came out today, and they cut its outlook for the U.S. economy, removing the assumptions of President Donald Trump's plans to cut taxes and boost infrastructure spending. The IMF reduced its forecast for U.S. growth this year to 2.1% from 2.3%. The Washington-based fund also cut its projection for U.S. growth next year to 2.1%. The world's biggest economy will probably have a hard time hitting Trump's target of 3% annual growth. I don't know. I always had to laugh at that. Oh, we're going to get 3.5 to 4. Yeah, we're no, you're not. But now the IMF is coming out saying the same thing. But they said that a lot of the IMF pointed to problems ranging from an aging population to low productivity growth, and with a labor market already back at full employment. This was all released today. The IMF assessment casts doubt over a more optimistic forecast than the White House. And the White House budget proposal was projecting growth to accelerate to 2-3% by 2020 and keep up that pace for 7 more years. Well, we know that's not going to happen. There's only a few cases that we've had that type of a turnaround, that type of a leap in any advanced economy since the 1980s. Most of those episodes took place in the mid to late 1990s when global demand was strong, and many of the cases came when economies were recovering from recessions. The only time the U.S. economy accelerated at such a pace came in the early 1980s when it was recovering from a deep recession. The IMF notes that the U.S. is enjoying its third longest expansion since 1850. With persistently strong job growth, growth will slip to 1.9% in 2019 and 1.8% in 2020. The economy's medium-term outlook is clouded by the imbalances, including rising public debt and a currency. This is what I thought was interesting, and a currency that is moderately overvalued between 10% to 20%, said the fund. That's kind of interesting, but you know they're pointing to the certainly the currency and the debt is a problem. And what do we talk about on this program all the time. They also came out and said that the U.S. economic model is not working well. Most critically, relative to historical performance, post-crisis growth has been too low and too unequal. The U.S. is having trouble adapting to trends such as changes to the job market from technology, low productivity growth, and an aging population, which I'd already mentioned. Their suggestion,
so we stop aging?
To raise revenue, the U.S. government should consider a broad-based federal consumption tax, a higher federal gas tax, and put in place a carbon tax on greenhouse gas emissions. Yeah, let's just tax. Yeah, we got room to.
It's worked wonderfully well for Illinois.
Yeah, truly.
The person, the people who've got any money are leaving the state. People will be leaving this country, going to Mexico. Hire a coyote to take you into Mexico rather than the coyotes. Or at least you can go back on the round trip.
They did mention one more thing. They even brought up Obamacare. They said that changes to Obamacare ought to be undertaken carefully to avoid compromising the pooling of risks, an essential foundation for a well-functioning health insurance system, or just exclude those with limited incomes from the healthcare system. That would seem to be the easiest. But, you know, you hear people talk about it, and I would like to see them repeal totally the health care, and maybe grandfather in the existing conditions for people who have problems now that they used it, and, you know, grandfather in the existing conditions. But when I hear these people talk about so randomly, just off the cuff, well, you know what, you know, people need to get over it, and, you know, just go out and find a job that gives benefits. It always comes from people who are wealthy. It always comes from people who have good jobs, usually government jobs, that gets the great health care insurance. And I agree. I mean, I agree that the system has to be cut. And I agree we have too much, you know, welfare programs. And I agree they have, but it just irritates me when they're just so arrogant and they just, I'm just going to get a job that pays. Well, you know what? Anyway,
it's not that simple, and it's going to get more complex and more difficult as time goes on. They've got robots coming in. It's bad enough we have illegal aliens coming in here to take jobs. We're going to have robots taking jobs. It's going to be increasingly difficult for people to find jobs, and it doesn't just apply to people who are right now on welfare. There are a lot of jobs that involve people that are white-collar workers that are going to disappear, and they're going to be replaced by robots. And what are we going to do then? You know, one of the things that's going to happen here is sooner or later people are going to, I mean, they're already talking about a basic income. Everybody has a flat basic income that you can get by. Oh, well, that's great. But here's the problem. I mean, what are people going to do if they don't have jobs and they do have a source of income? They're going to do drugs, they're going to do alcohol, they're going to eat, sleep, drink, and they are going to reproduce. And more likely, they're going to make more little people who have no more chance of getting a job than their mom and dad did. And somehow, we're going to raise the taxes enough on whoever still has jobs, or on the robots, or whoever, where we can afford people that don't have anything to do in life other than reproduce. This isn't going to work. We are headed for a really just enormous internal conflict. And it's not fun to even think about. The logic of it leads you to conclusions and implications that nobody wants to deal with, and therefore we won't until the problem gets so bad. I mean, let's just talk about it. Let's have a basic minimum income in this country, Melody. Let's do it. How are you going to keep the illegal aliens out of this country? There'll be people flooding into this country from around the world looking for a free lunch. What are you going to do about them? Does anybody have an answer? We're going to have to put up a wall around this place that's 100 feet high. And even then, people will be parachuting in if there's a way to get on the welfare rolls and get on the, once you're in, if you can get that basic minimum income. It might not mean much to most Americans, but it's going to be like dying and going to heaven for people in the third world.
Yeah, but Al, they already have the benefits that they receive coming into this country. And that's the first thing they should do if they wanted to slow down the immigration is cut off those benefits.
I agree.
You know, and
I agree, and
I mean, that's the first thing
they
need to do.
People are going to have to start to think about.
So basically, Al, the basic income is already here.
Well, kind of, but it's not a number that everybody can count
on. It's a forerunner of it.
Oh, I agree. I agree. We're headed in that direction. I mean, this isn't just happening. This isn't just, it didn't start just now. We've been doing this since, you know, you could argue since World War II or perhaps even before that.
But today I wanted to talk a little bit about the healthcare problem. There was another major cyber attack and so forth. And a little bit about the, you know, the healthcare. They're going to postpone the vote on that. But while we're on this topic, nearly half of Americans say that their expenses are equal or greater than their income.
Yeah.
And this is from the Center for Financial Services Innovation. And uh-huh. For those 18 to 25, the percentage is over half, up to 54%. Half of America has no financial cushion. We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
They're living on the edge. Of the 25% who say they have too much debt, 96% report being stressed. Yeah, well, you know, financial
welcome to
problems,
the real world.
Financial problems is the number one cause of breakup of marriages.
Yeah, it is.
And what they say is this financial stress does have lasting health effects for those constantly working to cover the expenses. They can't deal with their health problems if they can't deal with their financial health.
Yep.
With one out of every two people maxed out with expenses, it is likely you or someone you know. It's your coworkers, the receptionist, the guy mowing your lawn, the woman who takes care of your children. We're struggling. There's people out there that are struggling.
Yep.
Why are they overspending? It's not the economy. It's not working for us.
They're going into debt in order to try to hold, in order to try to make ends meet. That's what's happening.
Well,
they're going into debt.
The one thing, that's true, but one of the biggest things that they spend their income on is housing. This country has there's no affordable housing. They're spending a shockingly large amount of income on that. They have to pay for transportation to get to a job. These costs are going up,
yep,
while their wages are staying the same. Nearly 40%, another major contributor to this problem, according to this study, is irregular income. Nearly 40% of those who spend as much or more than their paychecks have volatile income, which means it varies from day to day, week to week, month to month. So on average, families experience income volatility 5 months out of the year. And in those volatile months, incomes could range by 25%, meaning if you had $1,000 in income, could be $1,250 one month, $750 the next. So, and they actually have tools that you can plan your pay. I mean, it's just like what used to be called a budget. Now they got all kinds of fancy computer names for it that, you know, you
it's
can
an
go
algorithm
get your
now
app.
When you and I were when back in the know. Day it was a budget, but now it's an algorithm.
No, it's an app, Al. It's an
app. Okay,
it's
maybe that.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Is it okay, I'll go along with app. But I still think algorithm is probably
but at the end of this report it talks about a series of structural challenges in this country that require policy solutions. We need to remove the stigma of talking about money problems and make it clear that a lot of people are struggling. And that's so very true. Everything in this, you know, all the media, all the television ads, everything is rosy, perfect, great, jobs. And it's not. People are struggling. Our monetary policy of this country is struggling. It's being challenged. It's fragile. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about our debt ceiling. Nobody's talking about $20 trillion in debt. All they're talking about is a stupid health care bill that you can't even, you know, get enough votes to get it passed because they don't know what the heck they're doing. And they came up with the CBO score came out on the health care. And hey, it looks like they're going to be saving up billions of dollars.
Yep.
And what do? They're figuring how they can use that money to buy votes so they can get the health care passed. It's like it's $188 billion the Senate has to play with. So now they did cancel it. They did cancel the vote before July 4th holiday. They're going to come back and supposedly, work some. But again, they have $188 billion to play with. And we always know that the CBO is wrong anyway. We always know that all. So they're going to spend this $188 billion to see how they can dole it out for votes. And it's just like,
well, it's not going to waste, Melody. It's not like they're just spending it on something frivolous like infrastructure. They're going to spend it on buying some votes.
And McConnell is one of the, I mean, he's famous for wheeling and dealing and getting things done and, divvying up anything that's there. They talk about health care premiums are going to drop 30% by 2020. 30%, okay, so by 2020, it's going to go up 200% before it drops 30%.
It's increased 100% in the last 4 years.
Hey, in the last year, it went up 60%, so it's far more than 100%.
And they're going to decrease by how much by 2020?
By 2020, 30%.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. They're living in a dream world, or maybe they're not even in a dream world, but what they understand is that they can lie to the public, and the public will accept that. We're going to go into some sort of a major difficulty, all right? And we're going to get there because it's been coming. It's been coming for 15, 20 years, if you cared to look and see. And if there were responsible people in Congress, if there were responsible people in government, they would have said, oh my gosh, we got to do something now, as in, say, the year 2000, as opposed to the year 2017. We could do something now to postpone the problem. And they just said, no, we're going to get out there and kick that can down the road, and we're going to leave it to some future generation. And we're not going to solve the problem. We're not going to be responsible. If we come up with an extra $180 billion, we'll find a way to urinate it away.
And so the frustrating part is people think this is just great because they hear this repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. Oh, they're doing something. The Republicans are doing. And it's just like, no, it's still the same baloney.
Yeah, I know.
It's still the same baloney.
Only thing the difference
and,
is
and the thing of it is they have to get this passed. They can't do the tax cuts. And it's like, and the tax cuts, wait till we get a little more involved in that. It's not going to help anybody.
We be in trouble, folks, and it's up to every one of us to prepare us, defend ourselves as best we can. We're going to take a break, couple commercials, be right back to Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, silver was up 10 cents today. But I am going to keep the package that I offered yesterday at yesterday's prices. 10 cents on silver, it's about $10 savings on the package, but, you know, that's significant for silver. So we're going to offer the 20 1-ounce silver eagles, the 20 1-ounce Buffalo silver rounds, and the $20 face value, 90% silver, $1,015, and that includes your shipping costs. So get your silver at the prices from yesterday, not today. 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And you know, also, before we move on from the Obamacare, and I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, so perhaps I shouldn't bring it up, but the cuts to Medicaid. Now, we all want reduction. But what frustrates me is all we heard was there's not going to be any cuts. There's not going to be any cuts. And then all of a sudden there's cuts.
Yep.
So I question, what other lies? What other things were we told? How else is this going to affect us? Now, you're talking about huge cuts in the repeal and replace, and also cuts to Medicaid in the budget. I think you're looking at about, what, $700-800 billion? My question is, it's not going to reduce anything. They're just going to reapply it to something else. Tax cuts, defense spending. How many troops have we seen come back? How many places have we seen that, you know, oh, no, I think we sent more to Afghanistan. Things are heating up in Syria. Last night, a line in the sand. There was any more gas attacks in Syria, we're going after Assad. There's no spending cuts anywhere else. All those other places need funding, and it's all coming from Medicaid. So, you know, and people were promised there wouldn't be any cuts. It's just more of the same. It's just a different set of clothes.
So. Well, it keeps on working, and on one level, you can't blame the government. The public keeps falling for it. They come up and they look you in the eye. They give you the Boy Scout sign. They tell you they're honest and you can trust them. And they feed you some crapola, and everybody says, "Oh, great!" And then when it's exposed as crapola, the only thing we say is, "What's next? Where's the next helping of crapola?" Huh? Where's the next lie? And we seem fascinated, you know, by the lies and unwilling to just look at things and say, wait, this is crapola. And we need to see it right up front, say it right up front, and make some of it stop. There has to be some liability for telling all these idiot lies. And there is, so far, it's not apparent that there is any. You know, I mean, you can get thrown out of Congress for being honest and intelligent, but I don't think you can get beat out of there for telling lies. Here's something else from CNBC.
And just one more thing. I mean, we want hope. You know, I had a little hope in the beginning. I always had my doubts, but it's like, yeah, well, maybe. Maybe this time is different. And you know what? It doesn't seem to be. And
by this time, you mean Trump. Is that what you mean?
Administration.
You mean the administration or what?
The administration. Mm-hmm. Because our problem is our monetary problem. And again, they're not discussing it.
You know,
tax cuts.
They won't even touch it.
Tax cuts is not addressing our monetary problems.
You know,
it's adding to it.
When I published a magazine called The Anti-Shyster back in the 1990s and on into the early 2000s, there were people who dealt with the money issue and they tried to deal with it. And some people came up with things like comptroller warrants. And they're printing their own certified money orders and the rest of this sort of thing. It was fraudulent. It was wrong. I didn't advocate it, but I did report on it. And the one thing that I observed, and I was in a position where I heard about these schemes from around the country, and they would, I'd hear about them, they'd come to my attention because I was publishing the magazine, and I learned early on, I started publishing in 1990, and probably by 1993, maybe 94, I learned that the one sure way to get yourself in serious trouble is make any attempt to threaten the current monetary system. You could commit virtually any crime you wanted to commit. The government might come after you and they might not, but you mess with the money system and they would jump on you with both feet. All right, you are going to get hurt badly. And I watched this time and again, and I came to the, and it taught me that the heart of darkness for this whole system is the monetary system. They will protect it. Now, the reason I bring that to your attention, we've got something going on in Qatar right now. And here's an excerpt from an article. The end of the petrodollar, what the Federal Reserve doesn't want you to know. This was an information clearinghouse. This is an article. Here's an excerpt from it. One of America's best remaining assets is its military strength, but it's useless without a strong economy to fund it. Rival coalitions like the BRICS aren't the BRIC nations. They're not challenging. They aren't challenging the established order head on, but are instead opting to undermine its financial support. Right, they're attacking us by going after. They're attacking the government. They're attacking the Western world by going after the monetary system. And the article continues talking about Qatar, and it says Qatar is just the latest country to take steps to bypass the U.S. dollar. Right, they've cut a deal for billions, hundreds of billions of dollars with China, and they're doing the deal in yuan rather than U.S. dollars. And they are now declared by people in our government and others to be funding terrorists and whatever, and I don't know whether they are or they aren't, but the one thing they are doing is messing with the monetary system. And the last two nations who tried to bypass the dollar and or the fiat currency were Libya, which advocated a gold-based monetary system for all of Africa, and Iraq, which wanted to sell its crude oil for euros rather than petrodollars. Both were invaded and destroyed. The leaders of those nations, Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, were executed. Implication? The powers that be are very, very determined to protect the fiat monetary system in general and the fiat dollar in particular. Now, Qatar is the most recent nation to challenge the petrodollar and is now on the brink of a perhaps destruction. The forces are surrounding it essentially and coming out against it, and it may be in deep trouble. Here's Russia. Russia made headlines in 2016 when they started accepting payment in yuan, Chinese currency, and took over as China's largest oil partner, stealing a huge market share from Saudi Arabia in the process. And Saudi Arabia is intimately involved with the petrodollar. Now, Russia, whose GDP, gross domestic product, is less than that of South Korea. You know, we've got an image in our mind where Russia is still the former Communist Union, all right, the Soviet Union, the evil empire. Russia's GDP is, according to some, less than that of South Korea. This is not a big operation, although they do have nuclear weapons, all right, and they have a strong military on their own, but they're not an enormous power, and yet it's also deemed to be our arch enemy. The roots of that adversity are multiple, and some can be traced back to at least the end of World War II. Nevertheless, I can't help but wonder if the primary reason for our current animosity towards Russia is that Russia is trading in yuan and daring to minimize its use of petrodollars. How about Iran? Also dropped the dollar earlier this year in response to President Trump's travel ban. As with Russia, America's animosity toward Iran goes back several decades. Still, is it just another coincidence that the current state of U.S.-Iranian adversity includes Iran's refusal to use petrodollars? It seems that every time a nation poses a serious threat to the fiat dollar, to the petrodollar, a pretext is found to invade and destroy that nation. What evidence, or is that evidence of an odd coincidence, or is it evidence of a global conspiracy to maintain fiat currency at any cost? And I'm inclined to believe that it's a currency that involves the United, certainly the United States, and foreign nations that are working with the United States to support this monetary system. What are they going to do, Melody? Are we going to war? Well, they'd like to go to war with Russia. I mean, they keep pushing that, but unfortunately, they have a bunch of nuclear weapons, and we don't want to take that risk. But we could get Iran, and we may be going after Qatar. And Iran is just across the I can't remember the proper name of the Gulf of whatever, but in any case, they're right across the border, essentially. Where are we going with this, Melody? And it does seem to be about protecting the dollar, dollar, dollar.
What I don't know is what the conversation was when Trump visited Saudi Arabia. Because all of this really started happening after that visit. The angst against Qatar and, you know, things that are happening. The U.S. world transactions, I'm not so sure that the impact with the petrodollar is as strong as it once was. You still have all your world financial transactions done in the dollar. And that's what, 85%
of the world's transactions?
80%, you know, it's up there. I don't know the breakout of the oil transactions, but since the U.S. has been producing a lot of the oil and selling it and so forth, I'm not so sure it has that same impact that we would actually go to war with a country because they're not selling their oil and U.S. dollars anymore. But I do believe whatever happened at Trump at that when he was in Saudi Arabia, all the agreements. I mean, we have a 350 arms transaction. I believe they're trying to fight it and so forth with them. So I don't know. Oil. I mean, gas. Natural gas is a huge thing when you see who Qatar. Sells it to
Europe primarily, I think, isn't that right?
I believe I'm not quite sure, but so I think what we're seeing, and particularly with Trump, I do believe he's in there trying to make new partners, new arrangements, new agreements. Even his meeting with Modi, India's prime minister, is he called a prime minister or president from India?
I think it's prime minister.
It's a prime minister. So, and the fight is, you know,
I
with
call
China.
Him head honcho.
The head honcho.
Yeah.
now you did a funny, Al. Uh-huh. So, I don't know. But certainly it all revolves around that. And it is all based on the monetary systems of the world. So that is the bottom line. But I'm not...
And it goes back to what we harp about. We're not going to get corrected in this country until we change our monetary system.
Said that for
this
years.
Is the heart of darkness of the problems. Yes. for the central source of the problems that we have in this country. We have a debt-based monetary system which is irrational, insane. It has led us to trouble that will be ruinous and difficult to overcome, and nobody wants to talk about it. It's the last of it. We're going to talk about the inflation rate and the GDP and illegal aliens and Muslims. We'll talk about everything except what we really need to talk about. I think we need to correct that monetary system, and there's no painless way to do it. But we should at least be talking about it. It shouldn't just be people like myself and Melody talk about this on radio programs. We should have people that are this topic should be engaged by congressmen and senators and presidents and so on. They say, well, I think we should do such and such. Well, think about it. Okay, fine. Think about it. Let's talk about it. All right? Let's talk about it. They don't want to even consider the possibility, so far as I can see, that the fiat money to that monetary system has to go. And yet, it seems to me that it is going to go. It's going to blow up in everybody's face before this is all over, and I don't know who they plan on blaming, but they're going to blame somebody other than the people who are really responsible for it. Who sold us this crock in the first place? Huh? Who allowed it to happen? And it includes virtually every congressman and senator and president we've had in the last, I don't know, since 1970s. They're in on it. They should know what they're doing. They don't say anything about it. They just go along with the program and gone along and gone along and gone along, and now we are coming to the end of the line, and when we get there, no one is going to enjoy it. Here's something from Charles de Gaulle, right, who, of course, was former president or premier or head honcho of France. Did they use head honcho in French?
I guess we're going to start using that from now on.
Okay, we can call a head honcho. Charles de Gaulle, he said, indeed, he's speaking about gold, and he said, indeed, there can be no other criterion, no other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which never changes, which can be shaped into ingots, bars, coins, which has no nationality, and which is eternally and universally accepted as the unalterable fiduciary value par excellence. All right, I said, do you see that par excellence? Mm-hmm. See, I learned a little French from watching Peter Sellers in the Pink Panther cartoons, mm-hmm. or movies. He picked up, had a burnf on the head. Mm-hmm. But in any case, it's interesting to see, you know, these people want to get away from gold, the people in the banks, the people in the central banks, the people in the governments. And the reason is, as long if they can stay away from that, they can behave irresponsibly. When you have a gold-based monetary system, you can only spend as much money as you have gold. But once you get into the debt-based monetary system, you can spend as much as the people are dumb enough to accept. All you have to do, it's all based on promises. I promise to pay $100,000 next month, next year, a decade from now, 100 years from now. It's just promises. You don't need to produce anything tangible like gold. All you have to do is promise. And it's a wonderful opportunity for government to just deceive the public with promises of pensions and free lunches and God knows what, and we're coming to the end of the line. The promises are going to fail, and we're going to pay a serious price for having abandoned our gold standard. We're going to take a break for a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. I need to learn the gold rule. Won't you lay it on the line?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Either way.
Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, we were talking during the break. I received an email from Ken, and it was from one of the online sellers of gold, silver doctors, and, you know, on a scale of one, may I say that, Al, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're in the lower percentage.
Well, you could say on a scale of 1 to 11 if you like, Melody. You have my permission.
On a scale of 1 to 10, they're on the lower end of on that scale. But it says silver will be over $500 by September 1st. It says if the information they received regarding the next few months is correct, gold and silver prices are about to explode more than we ever even imagined. But they go on and say it won't matter. No amount of stacking or prepping can prepare for one of the judgments about to hit America and the world. Judgment is coming and time is no more. They give a timeline of how things are to be unfold as told in the book of Revelation. My question is, then why are they selling gold and silver, mainly silver? But they want your check first. They want to sell you that silver so you own it. And then at the end of this thing, they ask, tell you to repent and so forth and whatnot. But they go through a whole timeline. And by September 1st, silver prices will have rocketed past $500. Gold will, if silver rockets past $500, gold will be $50,000. So, I mean, this whole thing doesn't even make sense, except trying to instill a little greed, telling you that gold is going to go to $500 by September 1st. And, of course, then they sock it to you with the fear that, you know, the end of the world is coming. So,
talking
I don't
like
know.
60 days, a little over 60 days, I think the price of gold is going to what?
500.
500. You're talking about the price of silver is
price
going
of
to
silver.
500.
Price of silver.
Right, 500 in the next 60 days. Well, I hope it does. It's all right with me. I have no. I won't complain about it the rest of that. But these
and
are the
I
kinds
the
of things where you sit
too.
Back and say, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, $500 silver will undoubtedly happen someday. Well, at least if we keep the currency we have right now. Yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen as a function of only of inflation. But it's going to go from $17, $18 an ounce to $500 an ounce in the next 60 days. You know, I mean, some of this stuff, you just got to use a certain amount of common sense and say, I don't think so. Nothing's impossible. I hope they're right. On one level, I hope they're right, but it does not make sense to me. And well, they talk about the Bible also. Go ahead.
In all my years doing this, you know, I've always, people ask me all the time, it's on my website, we're a Christian company. I've been asked millions of times, are you a Christian? There's companies out there that will pray with you. There's companies out there that will use the Bible as a way to sell to you. And my response to the person who asked me if I'm a Christian, yes. But I don't use my Christianity to sell gold and silver. To me, it's how I sell my gold and silver, how I treat my clients, the price I charge my clients, how I service my clients. To me, that is showing my Christianity. by doing good, by doing right. And so, and when I see people who sell gold and silver by using the Bible and by using these things, it just, it disgusts me. But I'm the first one to say, hey, hallelujah, let come end our misery, you know. But anyway, I mean, there, we do see, I mean, we see the turmoil in Syria, and Damascus is, it does have to be destroyed. I mean, I can't quote scriptures and things like that, you know, not off the top of my head. But there are signs that we can follow. And yes, what's happening in Syria is very much could be. And particularly with the warning from last night from the administration. You know, if they gas their civilians anymore, that, you know, that will pretty much be the end of Assad. You know, so yes, it could be the beginning, you know, with the destruction of Damascus, but no one knows the time or day.
There's one verse in the Bible that I can't quote precisely, but most of you have probably heard it and seen it and read it. I can't tell you exactly where it is, but it says, on the last day, you'll throw your gold out into the street as if it were trash. I don't know if they say as if it were trash, but you'll just, they're saying on the last day, your gold will have no value to you at all. You'll throw it out on the street, and it won't be. All right, I agree. I get that. But what about the day before the last day? What about the week before the last day? What about the month and the year and the decade before the last day? They're pointing out that they at least imply that some of God's people will have gold up until the last day, and then they'll say, all right, we don't need this anymore. But I think you're going to need it until you get to the last day. It's going to be helpful. Fine, throw it out. Won't need it anymore. I get that. But the day before, you're going to probably need some, and maybe the week before and the month before, and that's the way I look at that verse.
I do agree with you, but I also view it in a different manner. I view it that gold and silver will have very high value. It'll be very valuable. Mm-hmm. And what the scripture is saying that, you may as well throw it in the street, because those people that have destroyed and have not followed the Bible, it doesn't matter how much they own, it's not going to buy them their place in heaven. So to me, it tells you it's not that it's worthless. It tells me that it has a great value.
And yeah, but people, on the last
and
day.
These people think that they can buy their way, and they can't.
Last day, you won't have any use for it. I agree with that. You know, but I also agree that on the day before the last, yeah, you'll have a yield. Week before, yeah,
month, it's going to be year, very decade, valuable.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be very valuable.
And it did, and he's not. And the Bible didn't say you'll be condemned for having gold on the last day.
No, not at all.
Just saying, look, at that point, it's not going to work for you anymore. But up until then, you know, I think it'll work for you. I think it can be helpful and useful. And I'll tell you one other thing about gold that I have. You know, you can listen to me jabber on about the good Lord and the rest, that sort of thing, and you take it all with a certain amount of salt. But here is something I know. There are two verses in the Old Testament where God is talking about gold and silver implements, chalices and whatever, cups and whatever, that are part of the old temple in the Old Testament, the rest of that. And God says, the gold and the silver are mine.
Are mine.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. Now, he does not, that statement is ambiguous. My reading of the Bible, my recollection, is that this is ambiguous. It could mean one thing, it could mean the other thing. He's maybe saying, look, the gold cups and the gold and silverware and rest of that sort of thing, the gold, whatever those implements are, he says, that's mine. That's part of the temple, that's mine. Maybe that's what he means. I don't know. But he might also mean that there's something special about gold and silver. The gold and silver are his, right? And this may seem like an irrational concept to a lot of people, but it might not be. And it may be irrational. I'm not saying what it is or it isn't, but I think when you think back, is the world enamored by gold and to a lesser degree silver simply because they're shiny metals? There's other metals that are shiny. There's others. There's other things we could have used, but everybody seems to want some gold. They want some silver. It's almost a global phenomena, and it's a curious phenomena, because why? Why do we want gold more than platinum, for example. Why couldn't we have gone to, you know, the platinum, the platinum and the silver are mine, saith the Lord. He didn't say that. He said the gold and the silver. I wonder, and I have no evidence to support my speculation, conjecture. I have nothing other than just curiosity. I think maybe the reason people want gold and they want silver, maybe. I'm not saying it's God's truth. I'm just saying I contemplate the possibility. Maybe it's because the Bible is telling us something here. People want it because they kind of sense this is something of God's. This is maybe an evidence of God. Now, I'm not telling you it's true, and I'm sure a lot of people laugh at me and the rest of that sort of thing, but two verses, the gold and the silver are mine, saith the Lord. I don't know. You know, it's just one of those things. I have imagination and take it with a grain of salt.
I do believe we were provided for everything, for all our needs. And I do believe there was a need for a means of exchange. And I do believe the gold and silver is his. And I do believe that he provided it for us in order to use it. And I think that's why from day one it's always been recognized as wealth. It is wealth. And
one of the things people don't understand about money is whoever owns the money gets whatever the money is used to buy. There was a time in this country where bank robbers or robbers, they could steal your little stash of gold coins and go out and buy a herd of cattle. Well, you couldn't necessarily get your gold coins back, but you got the herd. If that was your money, if you could prove that was your money that was used to buy that herd of cattle, that herd is now yours, all right? And the bank robber is going to be hanged or jailed or whatever, but whatever was, if you owned the money that was used to purchase those cattle, to buy that cattle, then you got the cattle. You might not be too late to get the money back. Maybe it's been spent. You gave it to somebody. He left town. He spent it all down at the bar. I don't know what he did with it. You can't get the gold coins back, but you get the cattle. This is not a small or inconsequential premise. All right? When we deal with Federal Reserve notes, there's a very strange thing that happens with those. They are loaned into circulation, which means who owns the Federal Reserve notes, those green pieces of paper in your wallet. And whoever owns those pieces of paper gets title to whatever property is purchased with it. Because it's loaned into circulation, you may get equitable title, but you get a right to use those green pieces of paper. But ownership, real ownership, remains with the Federal Reserve unless and until that debt is paid off. They loan the notes into circulation. The gold and silver coin are not loaned into circulation as originally envisioned by the Constitution and the Founders. The way we got more gold, dig a hole in the ground, find some. You bring the gold into the assay office, they assay it, they melt it down, they smelt it, they make coins out of it, they coin it, which merely means they stamp it. Doesn't mean they create it. It merely means it was like a stamp that said, okay, this is 99% pure. All right, 1 ounce, 99% pure. That's what you got. That was the significance of all the sculpture on the outside of the coin. That was guaranteed. This is what it is. This is a real 1 ounce of gold. Right, they coined it, but they didn't own it. It went back to the prospector who found the gold in the first place. That was the way this really worked. And the title, because the gold and silver, as bizarre as this may sound, because if the good Lord actually owns the gold and the silver, you don't get caught in a situation where he's trying to take your property away from you. You can get caught in a situation where you may not be able to claim legal title to your property if it was purchased with Federal Reserve notes. That's a long story. I probably shouldn't even start it on this program because it takes a while to even get to the point where you can think that's a rational comment. But this is something I've understood for probably 15 years.
We talked about it before.
Well, we touch on it once in a while, but it's a difficult, hard. It's hard to believe. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference who owns the money. Whoever owns it gets whatever was used to purchase, and they divide it up. They let you get equitable title, but the legal title goes to the Federal Reserve, or at least it does by my reading. That doesn't happen with gold and silver coin. The great thing about them is not precisely that they're gold, not precisely that they're silver, but they carried both legal and equitable title in each coin. You could buy perfect title of property with a gold or silver coin. You can't get perfect title of property with a Federal Reserve note. You have to divide that. I used to process credit cards when I was selling my magazine. and they had to inspect my little facility for producing the magazine, and they sent a woman out to see if I was suitable for processing credit cards for subscriptions or whatever. And she told me, I didn't ask her about it, she told me that every credit card order goes through the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. This is back in the early 1990s. I didn't ask her anything about this. She told me, she volunteered that information. What does it mean? It means, why does the Federal Reserve care whether I'm down at buying some new underwear and some Crest toothpaste down at Walmart? What do they care? Why do they want to process all that? I believe it's because the Federal Reserve gets legal title to everything they touch. If it was purchased with their money that was loaned into circulation, they have legal title until that debt is paid off. I strongly suspect that's the reason. It does not. If I had the capacity to monitor everything that was purchased on credit cards around the country or maybe even around the world, would I waste my time doing it? Unless I had an interest in what was purchased? I don't think so. I wouldn't do it, and I don't think the Federal Reserve would do it either. So money is complex stuff. It's not just a matter of counting it. It's bizarre. It's strange. It's almost like alchemy. It's almost like magic. It involves title to property and rights and rights that flow from what kind of title do you have? And that title will be determined by the kind of currency or money that you use to purchase or buy something. Your standing in court depends on whether you have legal title or equitable title to property. Very complex. I know it's confusing. I probably shouldn't even brought it up. But I'm telling you, there's more to money than just counting it. Your rights will be determined by the kind of money you use. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.